Welcome to Red Storm Chasers. I'm Vincent here with Nick. On this episode, we'll look back at the exciting Marquette win, and we'll look ahead to the best week in the Big East, the Big East tournament week. Nick, good to be back on with you.
Very nice to be back on. I love the Big East tournament. This is the best time of the year. Not only is it championship week for all the conferences, but the Big East tournament is special because we don't have football.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said it. I think it's the best week of the year in the Big East. You could argue the week it starts, but I think, you know, it's the culmination of the season. It's exactly what we all look forward to. And we have the good fortune of being the one seed this year, which makes it even better.
Absolutely. The feeling this year is so much different than every other year in my lifetime.
100%. And obviously, we'll get into that. But first, let's do a little wrap. Obviously, we had one game this week finish our regular season. It was a win against Marquette, 86-84 in overtime. Extremely exciting game. It's funny, kind of funny. We were playing with house money. We didn't really need to win. Obviously, that's kind of silly and particularly weird to say as a St. John's fan, but all that mattered for us was really for NCAA tournament seeding, because we had already locked up the one seed. Marquette was playing for seed, so it was actually in the Big East tournament, so it was important for them. They ended up getting lost or locked into the 4-5 game with the loss, but it was kind of a different feel of like, well, I can watch this game. And obviously, I'm always upset when we lose, but it was almost like a weight off the shoulders watching. It was like, we lose this game, it stinks, but we don't get that hurt by it. Now, we didn't have to worry about that, because Zubi Ejiofor comes up with the clutch. I should say, first of all, Simeon Wiltshire comes up with the clutch steal.
Oh, yeah.
The pass.
Underrated.
No, well, Richmond gets the steal. Wiltshire gets the ball, quick dish to Zubi. Smart job by Wiltshire to know that he has enough time to pass it to Zubi. Zubi then, nice little touch there. Not even close, by the way. Reviewed it easy way before the clock hit zero. Just incredible. Overall, though, looking at some of the numbers from their game, we played pretty well. 45% from the field, 23% from three, which is a great number for us. We didn't rebound that well, though, and the only reason it kind of matters is because we may have to play Marquette again on Friday, which makes it a little scary. Beating them twice, they're a very good team. Beating them three times, particularly beating them twice in 1 week, could be a little difficult.
Yeah, I try not to buy into the whole it's hard to beat a team three times, especially because when it was against St. John's, we would always lose the three times and be like, we would say it every time and then it wouldn't happen. So now
that's fair. Well, that's why we got to speak it into existence. Our other numbers, so we only plus four in the rebound margin, plus two in the turnover margin. Good number for us in terms of turnovers. They didn't have that many, but the weird number is we were plus 16 on bench points, Nick. Marquette had 4 bench points. Just wild.
Yeah, they don't play a lot of guys. They're
very thin.
Like 2 or 4 minutes at the bottom half.
And I think that's why they're actually a good matchup for us, by the way. Because we run fairly deep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, looking at our guys, RJ Lewis, phenomenal day. 28 points, 11 rebounds, double-double, obviously. Zubi, also a double-double, 17 points, 12 rebounds. Kadari Richmond, though, first triple-double since Ron Artest in 1999. 10 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. Just a phenomenal day. Simeon Wiltshire, also in double digits with 13 points. Our guys played well. Our guys played prepared, and our guys didn't play like the game didn't mean anything, which is why we came away with the win, to be honest.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people were saying this game doesn't necessarily matter, because I know like we were already going to be the number one seed in the Big East. Obviously, we're going to make the NCAA tournament, but one, just as a player, it's hard not to play. You always want to win every single game. And it's just, I feel like there's still a chance. It's a very far long shot, especially with Alabama beating Auburn the other day. I still feel like there's a chance that we can make the one line if we win out and somehow all the right SEC schools lose in their first round in the SEC tournament. We probably need Auburn to win.
We can get into that a bit
Houston
more.
Houston to win.
We'll get into that a bit more when we're talking about the selection show at the end of this episode, for sure. But like, I agree with you. Obviously, like I said, it mattered for seeding. in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
It's just that it didn't, it's not like we improved anything in the Big East tournament. And to some people, they may say we may be pretty much locked into where we are in the NCAA tournament. Again, like you, I don't believe that. But a lot of people say we're probably going to end up as a two or a three, with some people saying mainly just we're stuck at three. So
it's crazy.
Well, it is. But as we can see from the rankings that came out, not a lot of respect for the Marquette win. We got jumped by Alabama. I understand they beat Auburn. Auburn lost twice this week, by the way. But no respect for the ranked Marquette win for us because we didn't move up, right? So I think you're right in that we do have a potential to get I agree. I think we have a potential to get to the one now that we beat Marquette. But I guess looking at the metrics of at least that sense in terms of ranking, clearly the AP doesn't think that because the AP showed no respect to Marquette in this new rankings. So that's the only caveat I would say. Like, I believe we can get to a one. Yeah. Obviously, it sounds like you do, too. I don't know that we're going to get there because I don't know if the committee thinks the same way. And our net ranking is 17. So
it's not bad.
We'll see. I mean, it's certainly not bad. Certainly not bad. Before we get into the tournament talk, we got to do the Spotlight Player of the Week from last week. Obviously, one game only, as we talked about. Nick, you have the honors of going first since it's just me and you. So you... Well, give your pick, and then I can either select the winner or we can split the difference.
I think you got to go with Kadari Richmond. First triple-double since 1999. Since in this millennium.
For yeah, good, the
first,
good point.
The first
point.
Triple-double. And he was just, he was on fire the whole game. You know, in every aspect of the game. And also, it's kind of like a nice, like, bow to the end of like the Biggie season, where at the beginning of the season he struggled a little bit, and we now know it's because he was getting his shot down and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now towards the end, the last, you know, 10 games, he's been the Kadari Richmond that we were promised as advertised. Yeah. So they say.
That's fair. I too am going to go with Kadari Richmond, Nick. I think you're 100% correct. When you had 26 years without a triple double, and all of a sudden somebody does it, you got to give homage to them. And I think this, you're right in that it is the perfect ending for Kadari Richmond's season because it shows how well he's come from the start of St. John's time till the end. We were getting the best kid in the transfer portal. His numbers at Seton Hall were phenomenal, and the season didn't start off that great, but in the Big East, he played absolutely phenomenal. Guy was just, you know, go out there, double digit score every game kind of guy, and got the job done. And he showed that very well in this last game. Didn't get Big East first team honors though. Only made Big East second team, which I think is not good. Not okay.
Yeah, that's not.
RJ and Zuby though, first team off Big East. They well deserved.
Well deserved. I think they didn't want to put three St. John's players in there.
Well, that's just silly though. Who cares?
I know. I think
if three St. John's players deserves it, then shame on them for not playing better. There's nothing I can tell them, right? That's my thinking on it. But anyway, it is what it is. Obviously, take the complaints up with the voters. Nick, let me pose this question to you as we talk about here end of season awards. Do you think RJ Lewis is going to be the Big East player of the year? It's a tough question.
It is tough. I think he will be. I think it's going to be somebody from St. John's, and it's clearly not going to be Kadari Richmond. I don't think it's going to be Zuby Ejiofor.
Right. That's fair.
They love offense, and he's a very fun player to watch. I mean, we're a very fun team to watch, but he is a very energetic, electric player to watch. And I think that as much as it shouldn't matter, when you're really trying to split hairs and the stats are as good as they are, the eye test does matter a little bit, and I think it's in RJ's favor. And his stats are obviously incredible for the season.
His numbers have been just absolutely phenomenal, and he's really shown why he is. You know, he's a talent we knew, right? We everyone when we got RJ, you know, you watched him playing, you said, this guy's got immense talent. And at times he, you know, he was young and it was like, if he could just put it together, cause he would make stupid plays and he would run down the court and never look the other way. This season has been the exact opposite. He's taken the talent we all knew he had and he put it into being a phenomenal player. I mean, 18 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, shooting 44% from the field. By the way,
a steal, 1.4 steals.
Killing it for us in a category we don't really have. He's been shooting threes phenomenally well towards the end of the season. He shoots 30% on the year. That number is much higher from February on. So it's he gives you that boost. You know, it's just it's great to see because he is such – we knew he had this talent, and it's just great to see it finally pan out. The guy who might get Big East Player of the Year besides him is probably Ryan Kalkbrenner. He did win Defensive Player of the Year already. You know.
They love him.
They love him, and I don't get it, but they love him. I mean, listen, he's a good basketball player. I'm not saying I don't get it. I do understand it, but I just, you know, I don't know. RJ is I guess it kind of depends how you look at it, but RJ is the most important player on the best team in the conference. So, like, for me, it's kind of an easy choice, right? That's who the Big East Player of the Year should be. So that's why I think, obviously, and we'll be out and campaigning for RJ Lewis, you know, with every breath we have. But that's why I think he deserves it. Now, whether he'll get it or not, we'll have to wait and see. But we got other things to take care of, mainly being the one seed in the Big East tournament. Starting this week, obviously, Wednesday, not a full slate of games, but a three slate of games. Pretty full set. I would say pretty full. Starting at 4 o'clock. 4, 6:30, and 9. First game matters to us. It matters to St. John's fans. Butler, Providence. We will get the winner of that in our noon matchup on Thursday. So that's an important one for us. We'll talk about that matchup in 1 minute. The other two Wednesday games don't matter to us at all, Nick, like you said, because they're on the other side of the bracket. It's DePaul and Georgetown, and then Seton Hall and Villanova. As mentioned, we are the one seed playing at noon on Thursday. And we'll get the winner of Providence and Butler. Nick, I pose it to you. Who would you prefer to see?
I would prefer Butler because we've only beat Providence by 2 points each time and both times, one time at the buzzer and one very slightly before the buzzer.
I'm with you. I think it's unanimous amongst St. John's fans. Nobody wants us to play Providence. They are in a bit of disarray, though. Kim English seemingly the fans seem to think he's kind of quit on the team, that he's kind of out the door. You know, they seem to be having problems. Hopkins is back, but you know, there's some contention, I think, between Kim English and him. All that is to say, I don't think any of that matters, and we should really root for Butler in this game because, like you said, beat him by 2 points only. They've kind of been a kryptonite to us for years now. Even when we were good and they weren't, or vice versa, they seem to have our number. And they're just not a good matchup for us. I mean, listen, Butler's not a bad team. Butler actually better overall record. They're 13-18. Providence 12-19. Both 6-14 in conference. But we beat them by 8 points. We beat them by 6 points. And in both games, I think it felt, you know, felt fairly comfortable in our victories.
It certainly wasn't in question either time.
Yeah, I mean, the Providence ones certainly were scary.
Those are real scary.
I think that's why I know I would much rather see Butler. I think that's a unanimous feeling. Just remember, change this year. The Wednesday games are on Peacock, and as is the St. John's first matchup, the noon game and the 2:30 game are both on Peacock. So you'll have to download that to watch. I don't like it, by the way, Nick. This Fox exclusive deal ended with the regular season, which is why the new deal, which we get used to this because this is going to be a lot next season. I'm sure there's going to be games on Peacock. I don't like it. I prefer it being on FS1. Yeah, you know why? Now, listen, I will give Peacock one benefit. At halftime, they do a very nice job of showing other games that are going on that they have, that which is nice, because my biggest qualm with streaming is you can't flip. And on championship week, it is extraordinarily important you be able to flip between channels so you can watch all the games.
100%.
How else can you watch the Big East and the, you know, the SEC and the other tournaments that actually matter? And by that, I mean not the ACC, the Big Ten. No one cares about watching those. I'm talking about the Sun Belt and the MVC, which is already, both of those are already finished. But you get my point. How can I know who won the Big West if I can't flip my channels? Anyway, I digress. The other matchup to watch for us will be the 4-5 matchup, which is the 2:30 matchup on Thursday, also on Peacock. That is Xavier and Marquette. That's the we will if we're to beat Butler or Providence, whoever we play, our semifinal matchup would be against Marquette and Xavier. Nick, I'll go first this time. I think we want to see Xavier. I don't really want to see Marquette again after beating them just on Saturday. And, you know, beating them previously, they're a very good team. Shaka Smart's a good coach. I just would like to let them. I also think it's better for the Big East, by the way, if Xavier beats Marquette, because Xavier is floating around that last team in, last four in. A win against Marquette would make them feel pretty good going into that, you know, going into the Selection Sunday. Plus, we played better, much better against Xavier. So if we could beat them in the semifinals, that's obviously the goal.
Yeah, it would definitely be better for the Big East if Xavier won. I think it gets them. They might have to sweat it out a little bit on Selection Sunday still, depending on where.
I think, yeah. Yeah,
depending on how everything shakes out, but I think they'll be a lot more comfortable. I definitely would rather see Xavier just because I think we are significantly better than them and match up better than them. But I'm not worried about playing Marquette again. I know we just played them this week. It's hard to beat a team three times. Well, actually, we shouldn't be saying that because most of the teams in the Big East we've beaten twice. So.
Yeah,
we have to beat everybody three times.
So that's a rule that people love to talk about, but I think it really only applies to good teams. Right. With all due respect, no disrespect to DePaul, but it's not hard to beat DePaul three times. It's not hard to beat Seton Hall three times this year. Yeah, I think it's more of a when you're of X caliber, it's just hard to beat you three times. And look, I mean, we play Marquette game overtime, right? I mean, they're close games.
And hey, when you go to overtime, the better team wins. And we won.
That is true. That is true. Also, the first team to score usually wins. But that's a pretty good statistic to keep an eye on for all you gamers out there.
build the bank.
So, listen, I think our path to the Big East Championship, and I know from a St. John's perspective, this is going to be a weird statement. I think it's okay. I'm not upset about it. Now, I think if we get Butler and Xavier, I'll be a lot happier than if we get Providence and Marquette.
Uh-huh. I agree.
100%. But at the end of the day, I mean, the weird thing is we're just that good. Our guys just want it more. Our guys are just out. They're better.
Yeah, and, pound for pound.
And the answer is this is the week where that really matters. And this is the week where coaching really matters. And we've got the best coach in college basketball history on our sidelines.
The godfather of college basketball.
You know, I feel really good going into a tournament format with this team, regardless of the matchups.
So I agree with your point, and I just want to a little thing that I've kind of come to realize, and I was talking about it with Craig, actually. I think the reason why we're always so good and we're always so like, man, we can always win every game is because – obviously, as we all know, we're a defensive team, right? And with being a defensive team, it's harder for a defense to not show up than an offense. An offense could have a bad shooting night. It's very rare, if it ever happens, when you have a bad defensive night. Like, that has to do with more with effort and with hustle and everything. That just doesn't slack off in one game, right? I mean, maybe if it's, the end of a tournament and you're really tired, then it could. But for the most part, that's something hard that doesn't exactly, and it takes multiple people for it to entirely break down. Whereas you could have, a bad shooting night where you're a team that lives and dies by a three doesn't go down, you're going to lose. I think that's why, to your point, we can play everybody, beat everybody, because we just have the best defense in the country. And when we have the best defense, it's hard to imagine a game where we can't win.
Yeah, we have the ability to step up into every game, because if we are able to take control of the game, there's nobody who can beat us. Particularly if we're able to hit a few three-pointers.
Oh, yeah.
But if we're able to fully control the game, we'll beat you 62 to 50. You know what I mean? That's how good our defense is, that we don't want games that go... Listen, we will win games that go into the 70s and the 80s, see Marquette, but we'd much rather not, right? Like, we're better off not getting games to go into the 80s, because we can't shoot with teams. Like, if we get into a three-point shooting contest, we're going to lose. But our defense is so good that that's very unlikely to happen. And I think you're right, Nick, in that it's harder to beat good defensive teams because their guys, it's just effort. And our guys have shown time and time and time again that we've got the effort and we're willing to put it all on the line every game. All right, Nick, obviously we talked about our path to the finals. Then this brings us to talking about the other side of the bracket. So we mentioned the first matchups, DePaul, Georgetown. The winner of that game will play Creighton in the first of the Thursday night games on FS1. Seton Hall and Villanova, the winner there will play UConn in the late night matchup on Thursday. You know, Seton Hall has been pretty bad all year. I'd say Villanova pretty easy to advance there. Last week I would have said, it's definitely going to be Georgetown. It's definitely going to be Villanova. And then DePaul went out and won two games in the week, including a win against Georgetown. So, you never know. You never know what can happen.
A really good crowd there, actually. I saw a TikTok or something.
Yeah, nice. I think Georgetown still wins. But either way, I don't see either of those teams upsetting Creighton anyway.
I agree. I think Creighton's head and shoulders better than both of those teams.
Yeah, I think Creighton's a pretty easy step into the semifinals. Well, they would play Villanova in the semifinals. I think that's an easy step there. I think Villanova could give UConn a game, as they showed. I mean, they beat us, they beat UConn, they beat Marquette. That's a bit tougher. I think UConn probably wins it, but that would be a tighter matchup.
Villanova winning that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because, it's funny because both Villanova and UConn, I guess it's the claim for who has the fake claim of the Big East of Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that's because
they love to say, "Oh, this is our house," when it's quite clearly our house.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not even a question anymore. This year for just
what a feeling,
absolutely
what
a phenomenal crowds from the Big from St. John's fans. Let's talk about it for a minute. The ability to sell out and see the crowds we've seen this year have been incredible. And I know people talk about St. John's fans, there's people jumping on the bandwagon. Great. We're happy to have you.
Oh yeah. I'd say that's all my friends.
Happy to have you.
Join the bandwagon now. Now's the time.
Sure. Listen,
all the merrier.
As a diehard St. John's fan my whole life, I am happy to welcome people in who are willing to spend time and commit to rooting to St. John. Where's the harm? Right? Where's the harm? I got no problem with it. You're a New Yorker, so good. I'll go out and buy a St. John's shirt. Go out, buy a St. John's jacket. Wear it around. Get us out there.
I have seen more stuff even here. Mm-hmm. We're in New Jersey, but I've seen some St. John's stuff, and I'm like, I've been walking around these streets a long time, and I ain't never seen no St. John's.
Exactly. I mean, so the Jimmy Fallon thing, right?
Yeah, that was
some good. People are like, you're premature. You haven't done anything. Genius move.
Yeah.
You know how many people watch that show?
Million.
Rick Pitino's playing chess. With all due respect, that going on Jimmy Fallon's, it's not about this season. It's about the NIL money. It's about recruiting. And it's about transfers. And that's what it's about. Catch the lightning while you can. And, build that brand. Everybody's talking about us. They're talking about us on non-sports shows. Right? That's how big it is for St. John's to be this good.
My buddy was telling me he was watching the Illinois game, the end of the Illinois game, and it was the day that St. John's clinched the Big East. And he said the post-game show, they only talked about St. John's.
Yeah, that's great. Love that.
Absolutely love that. We have blurbs on ESPN just by ourselves when a ranking comes out.
The amount of ESPN articles that have been written about St. John's this year just shows the difference Rick Pitino makes. Listen, obviously the team is phenomenal, which is due to Rick Pitino, but it just shows the impact he has and the ability to build a program. And that's what he's done in 2 years. And it is, I mean, I would say there's no doubt he wins Big East Coach of the Year.
If he doesn't, he got robbed. He should win probably National Coach of the Year.
I mean, from
NCAA snub to top six in the country.
100%.
Probably going to end up top five.
Yeah,
potentially good.
We finished the season ranked sixth in the AP. I mean, I don't know. There's just so many accolades this team has completed that you got to give credit where credit's due. All right, so Nick, Creighton, UConn, let's say. I think you throw Villanova possibly in that mix in the semifinal on Friday night. Listen, I know I'd rather play. See, that's a tough one. I don't know that I'd rather play any of those teams, obviously.
Yeah.
Give me a DePaul run. But, you know, who do you think we got the best shot against?
I mean, if Villanova was to ever make it there, I would think we would have the best shot at them. But I'm going to exclude them because I think it's really between Creighton and UConn. I think, I do think Villanova can upset UConn.
I don't know if it's going to be Creighton, though.
But I don't, yeah. I think the least team I want to actually see is UConn because we would see them in the championship,
mm-hmm.
and they are the two-time national champion. So they still have a chip on their shoulder. They still think they are one of the best teams in the country. And I don't know if I really want to see them in the finals.
No, I agree. Because at that point, they'll have some momentum. And Dan Hurley is a good coach. He's a good coach, and he's a good coach in tournament settings. And losing to UConn would also be worse than losing to Creighton, in my opinion.
And mentally.
Just because I'd have to hear it from the UConn fans, and I don't want to.
Yeah. I also think, though, if it is Creighton, which, again, it very well could be, I worry because they will let Kalkbrenner do anything he wants, as he always does.
It's true.
Which is, ridiculous things he gets away with if you watch, just down low. You watch him off the ball. He's tossing people around, throwing people around. When he gets the ball, he's taking multiple steps. He's throwing bows. But he's 7 foot, so they let him do it.
We beat him in the Garden once, though, Nick. Beat him in the Garden already this year.
We'll do it again.
I'm telling you, I agree with you. I think I'll take Villanova. I'll take Creighton. The UConn's the team I don't want to see. Even though I think UConn's, they're going to be an 8-9 seed in the NCAA tournament, most likely.
Yeah.
I still think I'd rather avoid them in the Big East tournament. So, Nick, obviously the Big East tournament, winning the Big East tournament would be incredible. There's no words we can say to describe how that will feel. No. So really what it will do, though, and we go back to your previously discussed point, is the next day is Selection Sunday. Huge day for us. Going to be a great day to be a St. John's fan, by the way. We are finally going to see. We're not going to sweat it out. We're not going to be worried. We are going to find ourselves, in my opinion, in the top three seeds. One seed, two seed, three seed. My question to you, and as you were talking about before, is what do you think the best case scenario is for us seed-wise, and what do you think will actually happen?
So, I think if we get something, what would be best for us? Like path wise?
No. I'm not. I think it's kind of too hard to lay that out. You know what though? I'll ask you that question. We can talk about that next. What I was really saying was, what's the best case scenario for us? We win the Big East. What seed do you think we get?
I think we realistically get the two seed.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. I mean, it would, again, a lot of things would have to go right for us to get the one seed, and it would be awesome. I just think it's kind of with the amount. I mean, there's three SEC teams ahead of us right now in the rankings, and the committee loves the SEC more than they love the Big East right now. So I think realistically we're on the two line, especially because I think we're going to win the Big East tournament.
If we lose the Big East tournament, what do you think we get?
I think we get a three. I don't think they drop us down too much.
If we lose in the championship, do we get a two?
No, we get a three. If we lose at all, I think
we
get a three.
If we don't win, well, okay. Yeah, I think we get a two. And I think we get a two if we get there and we get to the championship and lose or win. I think if we lose in the semis to Marquette, we've got a shot at getting a two. If we lose to Xavier, I think we're certainly getting a three.
I think if we lose in the semis, we definitely don't get a two.
That's fair. I think it's wishful thinking on my part. Going back to the one seed, though, I get the argument, and I hear a lot of people making it. Oh, the, you know, there's too many SEC schools ahead of St. John's. You know, they're not going to be able to get up to the one line because of that. I think the math would say differently, though. I mean, if you just think about it, right? Duke's going to be a one seed. Lock it in. Houston's
not good.
Houston, for all intent and purposes, is going to be a one seed, short of a stumble in the Big 12 tournament.
Texas Tech would have to come up.
And they'd have to really stumble. I mean, they'd have to lose their first round game to not be a one seed. Yeah. Then you've got two more spots. And yes, you are right. There are three SEC schools who are ahead of us. However, those three teams, two of them have to lose their conference championship because all three of them cannot win it.
Right.
And secondarily, one of those teams doesn't even make the finals.
Yeah, I think they probably give it to the runner-up.
I think if it's Auburn, yes, they give it to the runner-up.
If it's Alabama or Florida.
I think if Auburn wins, I think there's an opportunity for us to sneak into the one line. Obviously, it requires winning the Big East Championship. There's no, obviously, that's a given because that's the only way we're going to get here. I think, anything can happen in championship week, right? That's certainly true across the board. You know, what if Alabama and Florida lose their first game?
See, if that happens,
they start in the quarterfinals. All three of those teams are already in the quarterfinals. What if Missouri beats Florida and Kentucky beats Alabama?
That's where I agree with you. That's why I think we can get up to the one line. I'm saying it's a stretch because, you're rooting for both of those teams to lose in their first round game. But it's not impossible. To the other point that the SEC is very deep and very good throughout, that means they're probably going to play somebody pretty good in the quarterfinal.
The two teams I just laid out, Kentucky is the six. They would play Alabama if they win. Missouri's the seven. They would play Florida if they win. The two teams below those guys, that's where you start getting into the not good teams. But, even Auburn's got a good shot at playing Ole Miss round in their first tournament matchup, SEC tournament matchup. I mean, listen, I think Auburn's probably guaranteed a one seed just because they've been the best team in college basketball for so long this year. But those other two teams, Florida and Alabama, I don't think that holds true. And I think there's an opportunity there. If they slip up, now listen, I think they have to lose their quarterfinal game, but I'm just hoping we get there. You know what? At the end of the day, it's really just wishful thinking because we're going to end up with a two seed, and that's fine. Going back to your comment before, what two seed do you want to be? Lay out. So we'll say the one seeds are Duke, Houston, Auburn, and either Florida or Alabama. But which two seed do you want to be? What region, but also whose two seed do you want? Yeah.
So I want to be, I certainly do not want to be against Duke or Auburn.
Yeah.
I want to avoid them at all costs.
Duke in particular, I'd like to avoid.
I think Duke's really good this year and they're also Duke. So everybody loves them.
Right.
Love them. Auburn is very, very, very good.
They are. They just lost twice in 1 week, which means they may have got some losses out of the way.
Yeah, so I'd rather see them in the Final Four.
Yeah.
I think Houston plays a very similar game as us, but at a faster pace. Or I'm sorry, at a slower pace.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we would be an interesting matchup against them because we play the same defensive game, but we speed them up. And I think that's to our benefit because they will mess up more. We'll get them out of their half-court offense. We'll make them make more mistakes.
I think any game where we can play our style, which in a game against Houston would be the case, I like our chances. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think Houston is they're not the weakest one seed. I don't think that's true. I think the Florida Alabama is probably the weakest one seed, but I agree with you in that for our purposes, being in the Houston region is not bad for us. Yeah, I would take that.
I would agree.
I'd also take the Florida or Alabama.
Me too. Just because they're probably going to be the weakest link.
I'd probably take Florida, not Alabama, though, to be honest. I don't really want Alabama either. Alabama's
better than Florida, so I would rather Florida. But beggars can't be choosers.
No.
Well, I guess certainly, we are kind of choosers.
I guess we are. That's exactly what we're talking about. Obviously, the East Regional is played in Newark.
That'd be awesome.
Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 will be played in the Prudential Center. That would be fantastic for us, even though the Prudential Center has not been great to us in the past. It will be, because it's an NCAA tournament game, it'll be packed with St. John's fans if we play there.
I mean, it's a home game.
Yeah. I think there's no doubt that if we, now the trade-off is you may end up with Duke, and you don't want that.
You almost certainly get Duke. They always put Duke in the East.
Most likely. There is a South region.
I mean, it's possible. I'd be geographically closer to them, but
I mean, it depends. It is Atlanta, so like, yeah, you would think that that's actually, you know, listen, they're going to give them the East, so it's just kind of wishful thinking that we could end up in the East without Duke as the one seed. But if that would ever happen, it would be spectacular.
Yeah, 100%.
If not, we'll take what we can get. I mean, how many years have we sat on Selection Sunday hoping? Last year. Thinking it was going to happen and got burned. Or wishing, praying we would get a little bit better seed just to watch it all come crashing down.
Yeah.
This has been the year St. John's fans deserve. And on Selection Sunday, it's going to be the day I think it'll be a single day we've all been waiting for and have deserved for a while. We'll just to see us.
Absolutely. We'll be having parties instead of having, like, you know, watching it by our lonesome just in case we get hosed.
I mean, it's going to be a great day. I know I will be like mentally preparing for Selection Sunday all day. I'll wake up early. Just think about it. Just think about the number that's going to be next to our guys. Think about how exciting that's going to be. And wait until, unfortunately, 6 o'clock for it to happen. So
yeah, that's going to be the worst part about Sunday. We're going to have to wait almost all day.
Yeah, I mean, basically. But it'll be worth it in the end, Nick. And listen. The fun part about this Big East tournament is there's more basketball to be played after it.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. We're going to talk about the NCAA tournament, obviously, once the bracket comes out. But until then, for Nick, I'm Vincent. Go Johnnies. Keep chasing.